Osho, the language of existence, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 2.
Beloved Bhagwan, Hakuin said, "The study of Zen is like drilling wood to get fire. The wisest course is to forge straight ahead without stopping. If you rest at the first sign of heat, and then again as soon as the first wisp of smoke arises, even though you drill for 3 Asamkhaya kalpas, you will never see a spark of fire. My native place is close to the seashore, barely a few hundred paces from the beach. Suppose a man of my village is concerned because he does not know the flavor of seawater and wants to go and taste it for himself. If he turns back after having taken only a few steps, or even if he returns after having taken 100 steps, in either case, when will he ever know the ocean's bitter, salty taste? But though a man comes from as far as the mountains of Koshu, or Shinshu, Hida, or Mino, if he goes straight ahead without stopping, within a few days he will reach the shore, and the moment he dips the tip of one finger into the sea and licks it, he will instantly know the taste of the waters of the distant oceans and the nearby seas, of the southern beaches and the northern shores, in fact, of all the seawater in the world."
Minister, Hakuin is one of the most respected Zen masters. His respect depends on his capability to express the inexpressible, to create devices that somehow can manage to give you a glimpse of the unknown. He is basically concerned with the method. If the right method is used in the right time and right time, it is not going to fail. If you are on the right way, it may take some time to reach, but you will reach. The whole question before Hakuin is the right way, the right method, the right beginning. It was Gautam Buddha's habitual way of expression. All the great qualities that he has called for in an experienced and self-reliant man all begin with the word right. For example, He will not say simply samadhi. He will say samma samadhi. Samadhi can go wrong. People can mistake similarities and get lost. That's what happened to Aldous Huxley. When he took the LSD, he thought, and he was a man of tremendous knowledge, particularly of the East, and most of the saints of the East, he was well known. He immediately called that the experience of LSD is samadhi. The same experience that Patanjali has described, the ultimate phenomena. That gives an illustration clearly that Buddha was right not to use the word simply samadhi. It is dangerous. You can take something wrong and think it is samadhi. There are similar phenomena. The people who had become addicted to opium or hashish or marijuana, and they have been used for centuries from the very beginning of man. It is nothing new. And the reason why they became addicted, because they gave them a glimpse of something, how things should be. Although they are temporary glimpses, and they are produced by chemicals, so they don't go beyond the mind. But mind gets a glimpse just as the lake reflects the far away moon, and the experience is so beautiful that not to repeat it again and again becomes impossible. All the societies have been fighting against drugs, but the fight has not been successful. It will never succeed the way it is. It can succeed only if you give people the right experience of samma samadhi. Samma samadhi means right samadhi, so that they can make a differentiation, a discrimination, what is right and what is wrong. Those who have known their Buddha nature are not addicted to drugs for their experience. Their experience is not caused by any chemical. Their experience is caused by turning in their whole energy towards the center of their being. That has nothing to do with chemicals. But chemicals can give you an illusion. Something very similar. Hakun has adopted Buddha's habit. Buddha never spoke about anything without adding the word right first, because his understanding was, and he is correct, that everything can go wrong if you get caught up with something similar, which is illusory, and you cannot make the distinction because you don't know the real. Unless you know the real, how can you expect yourself to make a discrimination between the unreal and the real? It was a great contribution of Gautam Buddha that he will talk about all the qualities using the word right first. Samma means right. Because everything can be taken for granted as right if you don't have any experience of it, then any illusion, any hallucination, and these hallucinations will drag you life after life. A man like Aldous Huxley, one of the most intelligent men of the century, got caught into it. He became addicted to LSD. And he preached that what he is experiencing is the same as Buddha experienced and Kabir experience. This is definitely going beyond the limitation. Aldous Huxley has no way to know what Kabir experienced. He has no way to know what the Buddha has been. Buddha's experience was not dependent on any LSD. It was an inner experience dependent only on your own consciousness. LSD gives you unconsciousness, not consciousness. And if you are in a good mood, LSD can give you a paradise. LSD is simply a magnifying glass. If you are in a good mood, loving mood, and you take LSD, you feel the whole world is filled with love. You will even touch your chair with a loving hand. All around, everything is beautiful. Nothing is wrong. But it lasts only for a few hours. And when you wake up in a far worse world than you had gone before into LSD. Because you have seen something beautiful, and now you see an ordinary world which has lost its luster. You had seen in LSD the rainbows all around, suddenly they have all disappeared. You have seen people having aras and now they are just so ordinary. Even to envision that they had an aura looks stupid. But Buddha or Kabir, once they become enlightened, this enlightenment is not something that has to be renewed every year like a license. Once it has happened. It may become more bigger and more mature, but there is no way going back. That is the criterion whether you are hallucinating through drugs or you are authentically meditating. The word right has to be understood. Many people have been worried that why Buddha continuously uses the word right on every quality. They are not aware that against every real quality there is a phony quality available. Made in USA. That funny quality is cheap, but it serves only for a few hours. And then you are caught into it because it is so beautiful. Again and again, and every time you take it, you have to take it in a bigger dose because your body becomes immune. A moment comes, no LSD can make any difference. Your body has become completely immune. India is far more experienced because for 10,000 years at least it has been trying to use all kinds of drugs and poisons to create a cheap experience of the ultimate experience. They have gone even to the point even today, there are monasteries in Ladakh where they keep cobra snakes. When a person becomes so accustomed of all the drugs that no drug helps anymore, then the last thing is a cobra bite. On his tongue, the cobra bite, then he feels a little samadhi. Otherwise, a cobra bite means the end. And you will be surprised, there are cases that sometimes the cobra dies. Because the man is so full of poison it has been used in India for centuries. Each great king used to raised a beautiful girl from the very childhood, giving her piety. From a smaller doses to bigger doses, and to make her so immune that any dose of poison she was able to absorb without falling unconscious. And the final stage was when she will become young, will blossom in her youth, she could be sent to the enemy king. There was no difficulty in it. She had just to move to the another capital, and the king himself will become interested in her, because those girls were chosen from thousands of beautiful girls. They are unique specimens, immediately the king will become aware that a beautiful woman he has never seen before, and just a kiss from that girl was enough to kill the man. It is good that nowadays you don't find such trained and disciplined girls. They were available at the time of Gautama Buddha. And it was not something that you used one time and throw away the American way. They will kill the king and they will come home ready to be sent somewhere else, because nobody can think that the kiss of the girl has killed the king. Aldous Huxley and his colleagues are not aware of the whole history of drugs and why the girl was ready to take it. It gave such a good feeling, such a joyful feeling. He was not thinking what she is being prepared for, but she was floating in an euphoria. Buddha is right when he says Samma Samadhi. He will not accept Aldous Huxley's Samadhi as a right Samadhi. It is an illusion. But I wonder that nobody has criticized Aldous Huxley. All the governments are against drugs. Obviously, they should criticize Aldous Huxley first, but they don't have either the intelligence or the experience. That man at least had the experience of the illusory. The government don't have the experience even of the illusory. But down the ages, although every government has been against drugs, it has not made any change. no prohibition ever makes any change. On the contrary, it increases your interest in the things prohibited. I am against all prohibitions. My own understanding is that if LSD can give some glimpse of samadhi, then all its bad after effects should be removed. Because it is a chemical and it is in our hands. Those bad effects are the problem. They should be removed. And it should be made LSD number 2. Clean, completely in awareness taken that it is going to give you only a glimpse. Its addictiveness can be taken out, and when you know that it is going only to give you a glimpse, there is no harm. It may lead you in the search for the real. Rather than prohibiting the drug, what is needed is producing drugs which lead people to samadhi, which give an indication that if a chemical drug can be such a blessing, what will be the real thing? It is just a dewdrop in the comparison of the real oceanic feeling, the oceanic ecstasy. But nobody listens to any right approach. Thousands of people are unnecessarily in the jail. The number may be millions, not thousands. And most of them are underage. Even 6-year-olds had been found taking drugs. And nobody has suggested any solution for it. And once a boy or girl, whatever her age, takes the drug, he cannot forget that experience. Everything else becomes just rotten. The mind continuously hankers for the drug. It is the duty of the government of the whole world, through their drug chemistry, to produce drugs which are not harmful, which are not addictive. Any bad after effects have been removed. Only that part that gives a joyous feeling a desire to dance and a desire to find something real, because this will disappear within hours. These drugs can be used in a right way. Everything can be used in a right way and everything can be used in a wrong way. The way is the same. Hakyun said to his disciples, the study of Zen is like drilling wood to get fire. Old ancient methods. The wisest course is to forge straight ahead without stopping. If you rest at the first sign of heat, and then again as soon as the first wisp of smoke arises, even though you drill for 3 asankhya kalpas, asankhya means innumerable and kalpas means yugas, if you drill for asankhya, for innumerable ages, you will never seek never find a spark of fire. What he is saying, that there are things which have to be done fast. If you do them slowly, at the most you may create a smoke but not fire. To create fire, you have to hit hard and without resting, seeing that the wood is becoming hot, let us rest a little, the wood will become cool again. Seeing that the wood is smoking, now the fire is not far away, we can rest a little, the smoke will disappear and the wood will become cool again. The fire is hidden in the wood, but you have to be very continuous until you find the spark, the flame jumping up from the fire. This is a very good example for the meditator. You go a little while and then you say, I have to go tomorrow again. What is the hurry? It is enough now, rest. And if finally everybody has to become a Buddha, what does it matter? Whether it is Sunday or Saturday, there are only 7 days. Someday we will become a Buddha. But if you think in terms of going slowly in a lousy way, taking rest, you will never reach
although the path is very far, but it is sight only for those who go like an arrow. The arrow does not stop on the way. There are no stations for the arrow. It does not rest a little while in the air and then go again. It simply goes straight without having any halt on the way. And that should be remembered by every meditator. I have been using the word arrow purposely so that you can understand going into yourself is not a morning walk that you can return from anywhere. It is not something that you can do in fire. You have to do it one day in a single quantum leap. Whenever you decide, then don't look back. Just go ahead. Certainly, it needs guts and courage because you are moving in a dark and unknown space. You don't have with you even a lamp, no companion, you don't have any map. And meditation demands to go with the speed of light so fast that the journey of thousands of lives can be completed in a single moment. Hakuin says, my native place is close to the seashore, barely a few hundred paces from the beach. Suppose a man of my village is concerned because he does not know the flavor of sea and wants to go and taste the water for himself. If he turns back after having taken only a few steps, or even if he returns after having taken 100 steps, in either case, when will he ever know the ocean's bitter salty taste? You have to go to the ocean 100 feet, 200 feet, that is not the question. You have to go all the way. But though a man comes from as far as the mountains of Kosu or Shinsu, Hida or Minu, if he goes straight ahead without stopping, within a few days he will reach the shore, and the moment he dips the tip of one finger into the sea and licks it, he will instantly know the taste of the waters of the distant oceans and the nearby seas and of the southern beaches and the northern shores, in fact of all the sea water in the world. But the question is going to the sea, not just going in a lukewarm way, that one day few steps and then we will see tomorrow. But tomorrow you will have to take these few steps again. And if this becomes your habit, that few steps today and then we will see tomorrow, if this becomes your pattern, then you will never reach. Always you will be going on those few steps and the decision that it is enough. Now we will see tomorrow. For the meditator there is no tomorrow. Future is not the concern of meditation. Future is the concern of the mind. Mind cannot live without future. If suddenly all future disappears, mind will be at a loss what to do. Future is the space in which mind goes on weaving imaginations, projects, ideas, what one is going to become, what one is going to achieve. All the ambitions are laid in the future. But if the future completely disappears, suddenly you come to the point and see there is no future. Either your heart will stop, or you will run away backwards, thinking that at least past will be there, but past is not there. Past and future both are in your mind. Existentially there is only this moment. So when you meditate today, remember as if this is the last day. You may not have any chance to meditate again. So go all the way to the seashore. And once you have got the taste of your being, the rejoicing, the dancing, the blessing, the ecstasy, then there is no problem. You know the way. It is not far. It is just within you. Just a few inches away from your mind. But once you have to know it, just once you have to know it, then there is no problem. Then you cannot forget it. Then you cannot go away against it. Then it becomes your very life. And when meditation becomes one's very life, there is nothing more in this existence to make you richer. To make you a splendor. The secret is hidden within you. A Zen poet wrote with a pierced net, a net with holes, a pierced net. I have caught all the butterflies of the universe. He is not talking about butterflies, neither he is talking about a pierced net. He is talking about your mind, which is certainly pierced. So many holes, so many loopholes, so many stitches here and there, so many cracks. But the poet is saying, don't be worried. With a pierced net, I have caught all the butterflies of the universe. Just know the secret. And the secret is to go beyond the pierced net. Be a master of your mind. Then even a pierced net is capable to catch all the butterflies of the world. So right now, your mind catches nothing from all the holes and loopholes. Everything goes on leaking out. Have you watched that you are leaking continuously? I don't think, but now you will see. Vasu says it is right sitting silently, but he does not know that when you sit silently, it is not necessarily that the grass grows by itself. More necessity seems to be that the mind leaks of itself. Basu's experience is a great experience. But this is a very simple experience you can do. Just sitting in your room with closed eyes, see, thoughts are rushing this way and that way. Everything is leaking. When I say go beyond the mind, I mean go beyond all this leaking so that you can find something solid to stand upon. Before you take the jump, you need to find a spot at least to stand and jump into the darkness into the unknown territory of your own being. Buddha is reported to have said that everything that is great is bitter in the beginning and very sweet in the end, and vice versa. That which is very sweet in the beginning, for example, a honeymoon, is very bitter in the end. Meditation may be entering into darkness, unknown territory, but it ends up into the self-illumination, into a great explosion of light, and once the explosion has happened, you remain the Buddha forever. You cannot go back. The mind is gone, just like a shadow disappears. You function now from a no mind. And any action from no mind is good, is a blessing to the world. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, Hakuin said the wisest course is to forge straight ahead without stopping. But if we knew where straight ahead was, would we need to walk it? It is just a way of saying there is no problem in it. When Hakuin says the wisest course is to forge it straight, he is talking to the disciples, not to the students. He is talking to the meditators. When I say to you, go straight in, you don't ask me that where is this in. You don't consult an encyclopedia or a map of the world. Where is this in? You understand, you know perfectly well where it is, just you have not gone that way. Manisha, you know perfectly well where you have to go. Just go straight ahead. Walking will not do, not even running. That's why I have used the arrow. With a speed of the light, I have used the word quantum leap. one moment you were not a Buddha and another moment you are a Buddha. So far, there is no distance between you and your Buddhahood, only a misunderstanding. It is something like two plus two is four. But by some mistake, you have been calculating 2 plus 2 is 5. And I tell you that that is a mistake. 2 plus 2 is not 5, it is 4. Do you think you will have to do something? Immediately you see the point. They describe that the neurotic one who thinks 2 plus 2 is certainly 5. They are very fundamentalist. All fundamentalists are neurotic. They know everything where God is. They know that Holy Ghost committed a crime, and rather than hanging God on the cross, Jews hanged the poor boy. It was not his fault. Holy Ghost and God are not separate. Holy Ghost seems to be God's personality. His mark. Not saying directly that God committed adultery and with a poor Virgin Mary. They say Holy Ghost did it. And the poor boy, born out of this criminal act, they crucified. They should have crucified God. But the difficulty is, in fact, everybody would like to crucify God, but where to find Him? They found the only begotten Son. They said, it is nearest enough. Crucify this fellow at least. The neurotic cannot be convinced that 2 plus 2 is not 5. The psychotics are those who think that perhaps 2 plus 2 is 4, but they are very uncertain of it. Very worried that why it is 4. Why it is not 5? With 5 they were perfectly at ease. This is the way how psychologists find who is a psychotic and who is a neurotic. You cannot remove the neurotic from his position, whatever position he has taken. Psychotic you can remove, but he will remain always worried that this place seems to be right, but who knows? Perhaps I was right before, because there I was at ease. Here with 2 plus 2 making 4 creates such an anxiety. There is no distance between you and your ultimate reality. Just a about turn. Just rather looking outward, close your eyes and look in. In a single instant, when you have forgotten the outside world completely, the past, the future, everything, and you remain only in this moment looking inward, the happening, the transformation, the arrival of the Buddha, Manisha is also asking, is not our uncertainty, our groping, because we have to discover for ourselves what is straight ahead and what is going off track. If you look in, you cannot go off track. Because there are no tracks. There are not 2 ways even. It is the outside world. If you don't know, naturally you will have to grope to find. Inside world you don't have even hands to grope. The inside world is a pure seeing. In this country we have called this seeing darshan. Darshan means just seeing, and that does everything. You don't have to do anything else.
before you do the sea, a little laughing, that why you have not done it before. Pope the Polar is visiting the optician. I keep seeing its part in front of my eyes. Complains the Polar Pope. Really? Replies the optician, putting a new pair of glasses on the Pope's nose. There. How is that? Wow. That is great. Replies Pope the Polar. Now I can see the spot much clearer. Luigi is sitting with his teenage son Ispanoli. What do you want for your birthday, my son? Luigi proudly asks his son. I want a watch. Says the son. Okay. Shrug Luigi. It is okay with me if it is okay with your mother. Yes. Otherwise, in the middle of the night, you will guess. Somebody got it. Goodbody, the fifth grade teacher, asked the class what the best kind of business is. Real estate, says little Ernie, because everybody needs somewhere to live and houses always increase in value. Oil, explains little Albert, because cars always need petrol. No, says little Peggy Sue from the back of the room, the best business in the world is prostitution. What? Cries Miss Goodbody. Sob. Peggy Sue? How can you say such a thing? Easy. Replies Peggy Sue, because it is the only business where you have it, you sell it, and you still have it. Three women
arrived at the pearly gate, Betty and Margaret, our English girl, and Lolita is Italian. Saint Peter looked the woman over very carefully. Then he turns to Betty and says, "Have you been a pure and honest woman?" "My good man," replies Betty, "I am English. I have been honest and clean my whole life." "Okay, okay." First speaker, taking his list, followed that angel to the pink room. Then Peter turns to Margaret, and "Have you been a pure, forthright woman?" "Ah, Peter," replies Margaret, "I have been as pure as the driven snow." "Okay," says Peter, checking his list, "follow that angel to the pink room." Then he turns to Lolita, "And you have been honest and pure?" "I never did no harm to anyone," replies Lolita. "I could have said I was honest. I loved love, and I was a pure, I loved loving purely for love, and only for love." "Okay," says Peter, dropping his list, "follow me to my room." Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inward. Collect all your life energy just like an arrow, and without stopping anywhere, go straight forward to the center of your being. This moment you are the Buddha. This moment you are the glorious being. This moment all that is yours will be revealed to you. All the secrets, all the miracles. The greatest miracle is that as you go deeper, darkness disappears and a totally different kind of light, a light without source, illuminates your being. And you have an absolute feeling of immortality, of eternity, to make it clear, Nivedana. Forget your body. You are not your body. And forget your mind. You are not your mind. You are the watcher of both. The body is lying there. The mind may be chattering. You are watching. You have always been a watcher, unscratched by any thought, any desire, any action. Your purity is eternal. Nivedana, come back, but come back with your experience, come back with the light that you have seen, come back with the joy, the blissfulness, the pure space in which you have moved. Sit down for a few seconds. Just as a Buddha. Utterly silent. Immensely contented. Knowing nothing but full of wonder. Desiring nothing but full of love. This is your truth.
Yes, Bhagwan.
Can we celebrate the Buddha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Thank you.